Hello, I'm Michelle de Gouveia and I'm back in the studio with Kinga Lutinska, traveller, author and the laureate of two literary awards. First for her debut travel book, China Beyond Belief, and Russia Out of Russia. India, a mosaic of cultures, colours, aromas, sensations and multitudes of people. Discovered by Vasco da Gama in 1498, like China, India is one of the oldest civilizations in the world. There are as many citizens living cooped up on 1 square kilometer as behind the Great Wall. With a bundle of Chinese experiences, Kinga, in her latest brilliantly written travel book, India, Same Same But Different, takes us on a journey to another Asian country, India, the kingdom of Shiva and the land of the sacred cow. A multi-dimensional, magical place, as she says, where her book wrote itself. Kinga, welcome.
Hello.
Now, in the previous episode, you took us to Rajasthan, the kingdom of Maharajas, on a VIP step seat.
That's right.
We visited magnificent forts, stood in the courtyard of Udaipur Crystal Palace. We were walking the lanes of the blue city of Jodhpur. I'm curious, where will you take us today?
To a hotel, but not just any hotel, but a special one in a traditional haveli. In Rajasthan, you can admire wonderful, skillfully painted havelis. They are traditional historic buildings, real architectural masterpieces. On the wall of your room, images of Hindus, male and female, will be painted, dressed in beautiful traditional costumes. A night or two in such a haveli hotel is an absolute must. You can't miss it.
Well, coming from you, that's the best recommendation.
Thank you.
Having said that, you must have stayed in one then.
Yes, of course. Our room was blue. A large bed, I remember, occupied a niche, and above it was a subtle arch which might as well have been a crown of an entrance gate or something, you know, amazing. Next to it, stuck on the wall, were little pieces of glass in different abstract shapes and sizes, giving the impression of a broken mirror.
It sounds absolutely beautiful.
And it looked very pretty too, you know. In the place where the wall connected with the ceiling, there were quite big holes hidden among all those floral motifs, elaborately painted. It was natural air conditioning. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even have thought of it, would you? Right? Mm-hmm. Very original. Anyway, surrounded by such fairy tale scenery, a girl could dream that after opening her eyes, she'd see a prince on a white horse or you know, rather I should have said a Maharaja on a fawn buffalo.
That's a good one. A Maharaja on a fawn buffalo. Well, to make sure that Indianness is given its due.
Absolutely. You know, in Rajasthan, you can see the sacred guts of dusty Pushkar, gutter ponds, you know, where men bathe and socialize at the same time. You can also find very original square, guess what, wells. Have you ever stepped into a well?
Well, I could say never.
well, never. Well, in Rajasthan, it's possible. Probably because in India, everything and anything is possible, right? It's possible because massive stone steps will lead you inside. Navy blue peacocks, like centuries ago, not only stroll among, you know, the cloisters of palaces, courtyards, little lanes and backyards, but you can also see them in the provinces. Amazing. Wow. Incredible. And you know, you see them go, you watch them pass, and with their slow, majestic stride, they roam the sands of the great Thar Desert, mm-hmm. you know. And they look just as if they escaped from the Garden of Eden,
wow.
you know, yeah. What else? I can say that the clothes are very special. The clothes are original. They are original because they are decorated with small little shiny mirrors. If you want to buy jewelry, precious stones, go to Jaipur then.
I must say, it sounds like Rajasthan is a shopper's paradise.
Well, yeah, you know, shopping, sightseeing, desert, relaxation, magic bang, you know, and even a wedding.
A wedding? Well, did you get to go to a wedding?
Yes. Wow. And, you know, in India, to get an invitation to a wedding is not difficult at all. Because people are very sociable, very open, as you must know by now.
Yes.
You know? We got invited only in the second week of our Indian adventure, I must say, by Arun, a man in his early 30s. Mm-hmm. Who simply chatted us up in a cafe, you know, and then he found us a hotel, took us to a Hindu temple, and even drove me to a doctor because I didn't feel well. How about that?
Wow.
I had a problem breathing, you know, due to pollution, smog, you know, due to India probably.
Yes.
and he himself paid for the visit, right? Mm. It wasn't much. It was 50 rupees. Which equals to, I would say, $3. And then the next day...
Wait. Yeah? Did you just say $3 for a visit to a doctor?
Yep, correct. You know, India is not only a country of the cheapest VIP seats. No. But also of doctor's consultations. So, anyway, the next day, Arun came to our hotel to pick us up. And drive us to his village, not far from Junjunu, the capital of Shekhawati region. Mm-hmm. And the funny part was that soon we realized that his, you know, original intention was not so much to show the village to us, mm-hmm. but show us, you know...
To the village.
To the village,
yes.
Exactly. Yes. You know... You can imagine, we were walking up the main street, the only street, you know, that was there, shaking hands with everyone, because Arun knew everyone. He introduced us to the whole village, you know, almost. But, you know, after our first time on an Indian train, and then a visit to the doctor, we were tired, so we wanted to spend the day in our room and have an early night. Mm-hmm. A pipe dream.
Uh-huh.
Not there, not in India. In India, life goes on 24 hours a day and not a minute less, believe me. So that night, everything had already been arranged, whether we liked it or not, you know.
Of course, so, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, and the surprising part was that we didn't even know that on that evening we were going to a wedding. We did not have a clue at all. We didn't have any clothes, obviously, but Arun didn't see it as an obstacle at all. No, not a problem. Arun's wife chose a sari for me, mm-hmm. and Isaac, well, he ended up, okay, wearing Arun's brother's suit.
Sounds like a good Indian solution.
Right, you know, on that evening, I remember, we looked not only festive, but above all, very Indian. You know, my sari was blue and yellow, and the choli was gold, shiny, you know, must be shiny, must be loud, shiny, you know. And Isaac, as I said, was squeezed into a suit. Mm-hmm. And what a suit it was. Now, pressed beige pants with a matching linen shirt and a vest, you know, I've never seen him looking like that. Never. We felt like it was our wedding. We were going to get married.
Good. You know? But on the more serious note, how did you feel wearing the sari? Was it comfortable?
Serious note? Seriously?
Yes.
Definitely not. Definitely not. A sari is a traditional women's outfit resembling a long flowing robe, which isn't sewn. It's not sewn. But instead, it's wrapped around the hips and fastened with a safety pin, you know, mm-hmm. as simple as that. You know, boom, done, fixed, and then you go.
Wow.
And, you know, the rest of the fabric is usually thrown over one shoulder, but it can also be put on the head as a veil, you know, according to your style, mm-hmm. your preferences. And fabrics can vary. And the most expensive and stylish is silk. Most often, the material will be transparent and very, I must say, tastefully finished with a shiny lining. I have to admit, you know, that a woman whose face is covered with such a glamorous veil looks very mysterious.
Yeah, it may seem mysterious, but the sari is transparent, you said?
Yes, hence, you know, the need to wear a choli underneath.
What is choli? Yeah.
Choli is like, choli is a scant tight top with short, clingy, narrow sleeves, you know, and a low neck, revealing the stomach, which, again, according to preferences, can be covered in the final stage of fastening the attire. Mm-hmm. You know, such an avant-garde, I don't know if you knew that, such an avant-garde addition to a female outfit appeared in India with the arrival of the British, you know? And it was very warmly received by the representatives of the 20th century, by middle-class women, you know? And choli are very short, so exposed belly in India. For sure, definitely.
It doesn't seem possible in such a conservative Indian society.
You know, in ancient times, the standard of beauty was a woman with a narrow waist, okay, and round breasts and hips. And this can be seen in the images of women immortalized on the pages of the Kama Sutra.
I'm aware of that, yes.
At that time, you know, a sari seemed to be an outfit that perfectly emphasized these proportions, you know, the hips and the breast and really narrow waist. It accentuated it, and your waist seemed extremely narrow, you know, and so it's been till now. Nowadays, a woman's belly, flat or not, That's a different story, you know, can remain exposed as long as now her shoulders, sometimes face, and above all legs are covered.
I'm beginning to see. And do the Hindu women wear saris at all times?
At all times? Almost. I'd say almost. They don't part with them, even when traveling, you know. I didn't feel comfortable, so I really don't understand how come that they put their saris when they travel when you want to feel comfortable,
exactly,
right? Well, probably it's just my subjective opinion, because, you know, so this sophisticated, almost ceremonial attire, in a Westerner opinion, you know, Westerner's opinion, but absolutely every day for Hindu women, is worn by both passengers and cleaning ladies at the stations, you know, alike. Can you imagine the contrast of their gorgeous outfits and jewelry, you know, with the reflective orange jackets and dirty brooms, you know? It is just hilarious. It really is. They look basically like beautiful Cinderellas thrown out of the ballroom and driven to separate peas from the ashes, you know?
Now that I get, that's a very visual comparison. But why do the women in India cover their legs but show their stomach?
Ha! Interesting, right? Isn't it? I asked the man who I shared the hotel patio with the same question. Exposed belly is very alluring, they said, you know? So are legs and breast, I answered, I remember. That's right. However, if a woman shows them, she looks,
What did they say?
Well, you'll find the answer in India. Same, but different.
Now, I definitely look forward to reading it. But let's go back to the wedding.
Okay.
What did the bride and groom look like?
Incredible. Before midnight, the groom entered the podium and took a seat on one of those red thrones, high, massive chairs,
right.
You know. Soon the bride joined him, and the couple was dressed in amazing deep red robes, decorated with some sparkling stones, massive stones, particularly on their heads, on their headgear. And the bride, I remember, that caught my eyes. The bride had a huge round golden ring that pierced her nostril. Very outstanding, you know. Judging by their appearance, you might have thought that such a, I'd say, dignified couple must have arrived in a chariot, at least, right?
Of course.
And that would have been an educated guess, because you know, traditionally in Rajasthan, the bride and groom come to their wedding in a carriage drawn by white longhorn oxen. The same, like, you know, identical to those that pull the cabbage carts at Paharganj. You know, Paharganj, it's one of the busiest districts of Delhi.
Right.
Which, you know, with all its chaos and commotion, you know, what a noble duty, right? Indian multifunctionality, multitasking is really astounding.
It sounds like that. Yeah. And what about the ceremony? Tell me what that was like.
The ceremony, okay. Mm. So, Kanyadan opened the wedding, okay. Mm. The atmosphere of the oath, that's the oath, okay. So the atmosphere was quite peculiar, I must say, and gave the impression that both men, the father and the groom, were bidding at some very important auction, you know. And Saptapadi ended it.
Yeah. Can I just go through that again? Saptapadi.
Saptapadi.
Yes. What's that?
Right. Saptapadi means seven steps. You know, in Sanskrit, right?
Right.
Seven steps, and so the couple went around the holy fire of Agni seven times, and now the fire is crucial. You know, the fire is important because it's the witness of their vows, you know. And with each lap around the flame, the couple established another condition for successful living. Very reasonable, right?
For sure, yes.
And the ritual ended with the final step. They promise a promise of their love, friendship, and respect.
Well, you know, that sounds so romantic, but was it an arranged marriage? I've heard that Indian marriages are arranged.
True, it was. Yeah. It can differ province to province and family to family, for sure, but the general idea is that the parents choose spouses for their children.
Yeah. How?
How? What matters is what they do. What families they come from, and what dowry or financial benefits they have to offer. But that's not it. Equally important is their, I'd say, reputation, whether they are good, respectable people. That is actually what we heard from our local guide, you know. One evening, I remember on a visit to the Thar Desert, you know, in Rajasthan, beautiful place, I met 16-year-old Raya, you know, and on that night we camped near her house, so she kept us company. So I remember it was really nice. We were sitting by the fire, watching the stars, you know,
yes,
enjoying the silence, right? So
like from the city, yes,
yeah, and just to have something to talk about and to keep the conversation going, I asked her if she had a boyfriend. And, you know, she covered her face, you know, with a scarf and giggled shyly and wobbled her head in this peculiar Indian way, you know, which meant yes.
At that moment, it meant yes, right?
Yes.
How did you know?
All right. Well, that's the point, you know. In India, there's no definite yes. Like, there's no definite no. Rather, it's everything else that comes in between, you know, and probably the safest interpretation would be, you know, wait and see, which actually suited the context of that conversation very well. So I asked her if she liked him, and she said that she didn't know. So I was like, what do you mean you don't know? I was confused. So she explained, I don't know him because I haven't met him yet.
There you go.
There you go.
Now I'm beginning to understand.
The wobbly head, right?
Yeah, it actually starts to make sense.
How can you be certain, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, especially when it comes to marriage, right? Probably not only arranged marriage, right?
That is so true. And yeah. What do the young people of India think of the idea of arranged marriages?
Well, they think, well, I didn't ask everyone, but now you won't believe when I tell you what Raya told me.
Please, please tell me.
There is nothing more romantic, you know, than meeting your husband on the wedding day.
Well, what does not kill you makes you stronger, said Nietzsche.
Yes,
is that not the opening quote on the first page of your book?
That's right, yes. And what doesn't make you stronger makes you numb. This is my motto, because Indian roulette, Indian, you know, wheel of fortune and misfortune, as I call it, will mend you up on the one hand and daze you on the other. So, dear listeners, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, read my latest travel book, India, same, same, but different.
Well, thank you, Kinga, for bringing me closer to India and Indianness.
Pleasure.
I wish you more amazing adventures and more amazing books. Don't lose your spirit, don't lose your passion, or your shoes.
Right, shoes, good one. Don't lose your shoes, yeah. Good, practical, and I must say very Indian advice. Very useful in India, I must say. Thank you. And here is my little recipe for happiness.
Go ahead.
Whatever you do in life, do it with passion and don't forget to have fun. Cheers.
Cheers, Kinga. India, Same Same But Different is a funny, subversive title of Kinga Litinska's book about contradictory Indian culture and mentality. It is filled with engrossing anecdotes and encounters with the locals. India, Same Same But Different constitutes an interesting social insight into the world of Indian customs and habits. A roller coaster of events that in many Asian countries occur one by one. But here, they'll get you all at once. Let's have fun. Fall prey to the Indian railway. Stand in a line for a general ticket and take a VIP seat on the steps of a speeding train. Enjoy the taste of southern masala dosa and the roughness of the humpback zebu's tongue. India is like poetry and prose on the pages of the Kama Sutra, whose lovers have decided to follow asceticism, says Kinga. One day, someone selflessly pays for your visit to the doctor, and on another, they steal your last pair of shoes. Want to know what an Indian helicopter is, or half English? What you can see floating on the surface of the Ganges, and why, before you ship a parcel at an Indian post office, must you first visit a tailor? This and more awaits you on the pages of India, Same Same But Different. A travel report by Kinga Litinska, a passionate traveler on the Asian continent who makes the road her destination. To find out more about Kinga as a traveler and author, visit her on www.kinga-litinska.com, where you can find the book excerpts, a quiz, and plenty of beautiful, realistic photos of people, food, architecture, nature, and fascinating places that she has visited in her travels around China, Russia, Central and Southeast Asia. This has been Michelle de Gavea talking with Kinga Litinska.